Well, let's go with the message this morning. We're in a series called The Last Days According to Jesus Christ. The Last Days According to Jesus Christ. My intent in this series is to stay with the words of Jesus Christ. What did He say about the last days? What did He say about end time events? It's funny how we believe, well, I believe in Jesus now. Yeah, I want my sins forgiven, all that kind of good stuff. But now in that second coming again and the end of the world stuff, I don't believe in any of that. Even though He said it. See, a lot of people are like that. They want to pick and choose what they believe, and that just is not the way it is. You know, that's not the way the Bible is. You know, if you don't believe in the fact that Jesus will come again, just have the guts to say you're a liar. You know? Instead, play church games. Jesus said He's coming again. That's what He said. Do I understand it? No. Do I understand how He came the first time? No. I really don't. You know, born of a virgin thing? That's pretty tough, man. Amen? Raising from the dead? But He did it. The Bible says it. And says that's how we're saved. That's how we become a Christian, by believing in Jesus Christ and what He did and what He says. And so He says that He will come again. He says the world as we know it will end. Wow. That's wild kind of stuff. Well, let's look at it today. Today, the title of the message, Last Days According to Jesus Christ, specifically, the signs. The signs of the last days. Are there signs of the last days? How many, be honest, you think you've been seeing some signs of the last days? I thought so. Yeah, let's praise the Lord. I think that as well. I really, personally, I do. But, you know what I'm saying? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. The Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus Christ is going to come. The dead in Christ are going to be raised, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say it in one place. It says it in several places, and Jesus says it as well. That favorite passage of mine, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, say it with me if you know it, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus said He's coming again. And so let's look at it today, the signs. Are there some signs that He told us to be watching? Let's check it out. Signs of the last days. This morning. Thank you. Matthew 24, verse 3. If you have your Bible, we will be in Matthew 24 this morning. We'd welcome you to turn there. Be parking it pretty much in Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 24, and just looking at a few verses, not near as many as we did last week. Just a little bit of a review, just in case you weren't with us last week. Matthew 24, 3, and as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Jesus privately, and they said, tell us, when will these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Jesus had just told them that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed and not one stone would be left unturned. They said, when's this going to happen? So the disciples had three questions that they asked Jesus Christ. And here are those three questions that they asked Him. When will the temple be destroyed? Well, we talked about that last week. That one's history. That happened in AD 70. That happened 40 years after He prophesied it. It's history. You might say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Do you believe in a history book? Go read your history. A guy named Titus, a Roman emperor, came in and destroyed the temple. Just like Jesus said, it was such a specifically fulfilled prophecy, they even not only just burned the houses and the furnishings and stole stuff, they actually carried the stones away. Amen? You take that one to the bank. That one's done. Question number one. Number two, what will be the signs of your coming? And number three, what will be the signs of the end of the world? We also covered some other stuff last week, so let's look at it. Do we know when Jesus will return or when the end of the world will be? The answer is this. No. Okay? And if you think you do, you don't. Okay? If you think you've got some special lying to God and He told you that He's coming back this week or next week, He didn't, you're lying. Okay? Why? Because I believe the Bible more than I believe any of you. And over 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 again, Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. So if you want to be like the Millerites or you want to be like the Russellites and start the Jehovah's Witnesses, that's the camp you're in. You're not in the Bible camp. No one knows the day nor the hour when Jesus Christ will come. Look at it. You might say, how do you know that, preacher man? I'm glad you asked. Mark 13:32. But of that day, Jesus speaking, and that hour, knows no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Somebody that says they know when Jesus is coming, all they really want to do is put themselves above man, put themselves above angels, and put themselves above God. It's a very foolish thing to do. You do not know when Jesus is coming. So if you're here today to find out when Jesus is coming, don't know. You know, I don't. But I tell you what, He did give us some signs that would help us with our life, to live for Him and to keep our eyes on the eastern skies. Let's keep looking. No man knows. No angel knows. Not even the Son of Man knows. Okay? Let's keep looking. What should our attitude be concerning the return of Jesus Christ? What should our attitude be concerning His return of end time events of the last days? We said last week we should have three attitudes. We didn't say it. Jesus said it. Remember we went through the Scripture last week? He gave these different accounts. Here's what our attitude should be. Number one, we should have a pay attention attitude. We shouldn't look at things in the world and let them really catch us by surprise. They ought to encourage us, man. They ought to encourage us that the Bible is true. Jesus could be coming soon. We should pay attention to what's going on around us. It'll be an encouragement, not a discouragement. Next, we should have a believing attitude. We should watch. We should be looking for Him to come. It shouldn't surprise us if Jesus comes. Why? Because we believe He's coming. Why? Because we believe His Word. Okay? Do I understand it all? No, of course not. But if Jesus were to come today, would I be surprised? Yeah, I'd be surprised to be like on Streets of Gold or something. Yeah, that would be like surprising. But once I got there, I would say, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. Why? Because He said it was going to happen. See what I'm saying? Believing attitude, not a doubting attitude, not an attitude that I don't believe Jesus is ever going to come. Some of you are listening now, you're listening on radio, you're listening on television, and you're going to say, you know, that Jesus and all these people have been saying He's been coming forever. Yeah, that's true. They've been saying He's been coming. Paul believed it. I want to be in the camp that believes God, not that doubts God. Because God says in His Word, I can't even please Him if I don't have faith in Him. I must believe Him. And so I believe Him. But I do believe we have several signs, though, that we see in our world perhaps that others never had a chance to see. So we need to have a believing attitude. The last kind of attitude that we talked about last week, we need to have an attitude of accountability. What does that mean? We're going to give an account. Amen? What if Jesus were to come back today? Because His return is imminent. We believe it could happen at any time. I think that's what the Bible teaches clearly. Does that mean that means that really nothing has to happen for Jesus to return? Okay? So I need to have an attitude of accountability. That means at any moment, I could die or whatever. He could come, and I'm going to give an account of what I've done with my body and the way I've lived my life. Does that make sense to people this morning? Say, you with me? So we talked about that last week. Let's keep moving. Newsweek article that came out not too long ago. Let's check it out right quick. Are these the end times in Newsweek? This was an interview with Tim LaHaye. Tim LaHaye wrote the Left Behind series along with Jenkins. This was a July 26 article, not that old. When Tim LaHaye talks, the faithful listen. By the millions, the conservative Protestant minister is the co-author of the widely popular apocalyptic Left Behind novels. The controversial books, which have sold more than, how many? 60 million copies, depict the biblical end of the world, the Christian eschatology of the upheaval that precedes the second coming of Jesus Christ, known also as the end times. He was asked a couple of questions. I thought it might be interesting just to look at it. LaHaye recently spoke to Newsweek's Brian Baker about why he believes the events currently unfolding in the Middle East reflect biblical prophecy. So let's look at a couple of these questions this morning. Not a lot of time. Newsweek, how do you interpret what's happening in the Middle East? Are you seeing signs that these are the end of days? LaHaye, biblically speaking, the very nations that are mentioned in prophecy and have been mentioned for 25 years as occupying the focus of the tension of the last days are the very nations that are involved in the conflict right now. You knew that, didn't you? The very nations that we're seeing are the ones the Bible talked about. That may be one of the reasons there's a sudden interest in Bible prophecy, because all of a sudden they realize end time events could possibly take place and break forth right now. That's what LaHaye says. Newsweek, but first century Christians believed that the end of the world could come during their lifetime. Yeah, we call it the belief in the imminent return of Christ. It's a motivational factor to serve the Lord and not let the world be so much with us that we don't serve the Lord in the spiritual environment. Yeah, they believed and it helped them to serve the Lord. And we are to believe as well. Last question. Newsweek, couldn't almost anything then be taken as a clue that any point in history might be the end times? Down through the years, that's true. But never the accumulation of events that we have today. And I agree with LaHaye. I've often said that no one knows the day nor the hour. He didn't say it, Jesus said it. That Christ will come. But no generation has had so many signs of the times as our generation. We have more reason to believe that Christ could come in our lifetime than any generation before us. Amen? You believe that? Amen. I believe that. I believe he's right on the money when he says that. Let's keep looking. So what are some signs of the last days? Are y'all cool? Y'all all right? All right, so here we go. What are some signs of the last days according to Jesus? Let's look at it. What did Jesus Christ say about the signs of His coming and the end of the world? Matthew 24:4. As we move through Matthew 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, they asked Him, when's the temple going to be destroyed? When are you coming again? When's the world going to end as we know it? Verse 4. Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. Can you say that with me? Take heed that no man deceive you. And that even means, that means your preacher. Take heed that you don't get deceived by any preacher, by any guy, period. Okay? That's what Jesus said. We need to seriously understand the importance of what Jesus is about to say. This is really important. He says, take heed. Let's keep moving. The word take heed literally means to keep your eyes open. When people start talking about end times events, I know they're interesting and people like to know about them, they like to talk about them, but don't be nuts, okay? Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open to what they're saying. And take heed, because people are out there that can deceive you. Know what the Bible teaches. So be alert, be wise, God's saying, Jesus is saying. There's going to be some serious misinformation given on this subject, so listen to me carefully, Jesus is saying. Are you feeling it? Before he ever started talking. And by the way, we said it last week, Jesus was asked many questions when he was on this planet. The answer that he gave was that by far the longest answer to any question was the answer about the end time events or his coming again. He gave so many details. Do we understand them all? No. But he gave us a lot of details and we can dig into them and let's look at them. So the last days according to Jesus, signs of the last days. Let's go with sign number one. Okay? Pop it up. Can you say that with me? Deception. Come on, help me now. Deception. Deception. Now, I'm going to park it here a while. Matter of fact, this is going to be the bulk of our message today. We are going to look at some other signs that are going to follow after I get done with this. But I want you to see something. I just want you to listen today. Deception. Jesus says this, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am Messiah, and deceive many. Could you say that verse with me? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the first sign he gives is deception. There's going to be deception in the last days. Let's check it out. See what we can find. Many are going to claim to be Messiah. They're going to claim to have the answers to solve all the world's problems. Does the world have a lot of problems right now? Sure enough. Many are going to be coming, saying they've got the answer. People are desperate for leadership today, and they're especially desperate for political or religious leadership. There's two things that are powerful. That's political leadership, religious leadership. Pop this statement up that I wrote up here, and that is, when these two are blended together, political power and religious power, they're amazingly powerful. Okay? And that's going to take me to a little topic this morning. Let's keep moving. I don't think the last days, very important, of course me talking, you can tell by the writing, I don't think the last days are going to be marked so much by cuckoo Christ as much as I do counterfeit Christ. I don't think the last days, this is my opinion, I don't think the last days are marked so much by people going around saying, smoking weed, saying, I'm Jesus, follow me, baby. Okay? I don't think that, and you know, little cult groups, that's part of it. That's part of false religion. But I don't think that's going to be the big kicker here that's going to take the world over and cause all kinds of havoc, religiously and politically. Okay? I don't think it's going to be some of these cuckoo people. I believe it's going to be counterfeit Christ. And what am I talking about? Let's keep looking. Satan is an imitator or a counterfeiter. Can you say that with me? Satan is an imitator. He is a counterfeiter. He's so good. He gets us through the hook, line, and sinker all the time because he's so good at counterfeiting something we think is the real thing. And I think in the last days, there's going to be deception, and a lot of people are going to think it's the real thing. And it's not going to be the real thing. Look at how he is such an imitator, Satan. Just want you to just see Satan just for a little bit. How he imitates God in Christianity. God has one son, Jesus. According to the Bible, Satan has a son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Check it out sometimes. You can go to our website, fellowshipinglewood.com. Click on the PowerPoint. You can look up all these scriptures later if you would like. Let's look. There's the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Satan has the unholy Trinity. He has the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. Revelation 20:10. Check it out. Satan, and God has children of God. We're the children of God. We believe in Jesus Christ. They're children of Satan. Matthew 13:38, Jesus said, children of the wicked one. He has kids. God seals His servants unto the day of redemption. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Satan seals his servants. Revelation 13:16, say it with me, with the mark of the beast. You see how he's a counterfeiter? Do you see it or not? I could go on and on and on. I think I got a couple more. God has His church. Satan has his church, Revelation 2:9. It's called the synagogue of Satan, the Bible teaches. Keep going. Jesus is the light of the world. Satan is transformed into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Now what's the point? I don't believe that Jesus, when He's talking about here, there'll be people that say they're Christ that are going to come in the end times. I don't necessarily believe it's just talking about cuckoo Christ. I think it's talking about counterfeit Christ. Now let's go somewhere. I'm going to talk to you this morning for a little bit about the deception of Islam. Okay? 1.5 billion people in our world today believe in Islam. Did you know that? Say. And they are militant. They are radical. They do not love Jesus Christ. They do not love Christians, care for Christians, and they certainly have a hatred for both Christians and Jews. Whether you like to realize it or not, or you're not living in the real world if you don't. So we're going to look at the deception of Islam for just a minute. Let's pop it up. They have one God, Allah. Keep looking. They have one major prophet. Sort of sounds like Christianity, doesn't it? Muhammad. And actually, their major prophet ascended into heaven. Did Jesus ascend to heaven, yes or no? Yes, counterfeit. Keep looking. Muhammad has 12 imams. Jesus had 12 what? And by the way, this was all written 600 to 700 years after the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. All of this was come later. That's one thing about Satan, is that he can't even be creative. He's a counterfeit. He is a counterfeit. That's exactly what he is. These 12 imams, guess what? These imams are leaders after Muhammad. The 12th one is coming again. Are you getting the mail? Say, you checking it out? Counterfeit. It's exactly what it is. Let me tell you about this 12th imam. His name is Imam Mehdi. And he is to remain underground. He's in some kind of well. This leader in Iran, the current president, has built a road, supposedly, from Tehran to the place where this well or this underground hole is. And he would not talk about nuclear topics until after August the 22nd. How many remember hearing that in the news? Say, I ain't going to have no talks. I ain't talking to nobody. I ain't going to talk to nobody. Why? Because he believed this little sucker was coming back on the 22nd of August and wouldn't talk to anybody. They believe that this Imam Mehdi will remain underground for more than 1,000 years and he shall appear with, watch it, they believe that he's going to appear with Jesus to spread what? Islam worldwide. Isn't that funny? That Jesus, when He was on this planet, we have the Word of the living God. I look in there in the Bible, I don't see Jesus spreading Islam at all. But it's funny, when He comes back, He's going to meet up with this guy, and they're going to spread Islam worldwide. It's a false gospel. Okay? Now, if I was saying this in a foreign country, across the ocean, you'd probably pick me up in a body bag. My head would be cut off and my hands would be cut off. Why? Because that's what the book of the Quran teaches. Cut their head off, cut their hands off. And I would be considered an infidel. But guess what? I wear that as a badge of honor today. I am an infidel. When it comes to following Mohammed, I don't. When it comes to believing in Allah, I don't. I am an infidel. Because I am a Christian. Okay? And sitting on both sides of the fence ain't going to fly. And I don't believe it honors God. I believe He wants us to stand for Him and to love Him. Let's keep looking. This is a deception. We're not talking about something that doesn't matter. This matters. This is affecting your world. It affects you at the gas pump. It affects you when you go to the airport. It affects everything you do. It's happening, friend. Whether these are the end times, I don't know. But I tell you what, it's feeling like it. Another deception from Islam. Islam is in fact not a peaceful religion that has been hijacked by radicals or extremists. How many have heard that? It's a peaceful religion that's been hijacked by radicals or extremists. That's not true. It is radical and is extreme from its very beginning. Keep looking. Mohammed did conquer with the sword. And this is history, whether the Pope believes it or not this week. Okay? A couple of weeks ago, he's quoting history. Till they got mad and he says, but I don't believe that. Well, guess what? They still got little dolls made up of the Pope with his head cut off, his arms cut off, and stabbed. And by the way, friend, let me tell you something. I was watching television the other night, world news, just world news. And they're carrying signs in the street that says, Jesus is the slave of Allah. Jesus is the slave of Allah. Let me tell you something, my friend. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My Savior, Jesus Christ, is not a slave to Allah. Okay? It is not a peaceful religion. I know these aren't words. I'm not a politician, okay? I'm not a politician. So I feel like I can speak freely and say what I believe to be His truth. Keep looking. They're a bloodthirsty spirit. By the way, I read a book this week by Reza Safa. He is a former Iranian Muslim who has found faith in Jesus Christ. And now he has several television stations or translators or something that's beaming the gospel into Iran, into the Middle East, and places like that. I'd say he's a marked man. But I was reading that book, and this is a pretty writing. And so I was reading it. It's a bloodthirsty spirit. Look at a quick look at the Quran. In Surah 8, 12 through 14. This is what the Quran says. Remember your Lord inspired the angels with the message. I am with you. Give firmness to the believers. I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. You smite above their necks and you smite off their fingertips or their fingertips off of them. This is because they contend against Allah and His Messenger. If any contend against Allah and His Messenger, Allah is strict in punishment. Where does this cutting off head thing come from? Does it come from radicals and extremists that come right out of the Quran? I mean, you got eyeballs. Didn't you see it or say, huh? Comes right out of the Quran. Cutting off heads, cutting off hands. Well, that's just a few extremists. Isn't it funny? Seems like everyone I've ever seen on television, they're all extreme. A play was recently canceled in Germany. How many saw that? I didn't follow it real close, but I understand they're cutting off the head in this play of Jesus and of Muhammad, whatever. Oh, they were going to run the play just fine until you cut off Muhammad's head. And they're scared to death. They canceled the play. It was a play, was it by Mozart? They canceled the play altogether. I'm not all for the play. I think good cancel thing. But however, not because of Christianity, because of Islam. It's radical. Jihad. You've heard of that. Jihad. What is a jihad? Here's what a jihad is according to the Quran. It's a striving for the cause of Islam. A jihad. There's an Arabic word, gatala, which means to kill. Here's what the fourfold purpose of jihad is. Here it is. It's fight or kill the enemy of Islam. Two, fight, kill the oppressors. Three, fight, kill the infidels. That's me. Fight, kill for the expansion of Islam. What am I saying? Jesus said, in the last days, there are going to be folks that are going to come and say, I am Christ, or we're of God. That's going to happen in the end times. Am I saying that some of these cuckoo people aren't part of the end times events? I'm not saying that they're not. I believe they probably are to some degree. But I believe it's going to be something bigger. And I think, according to where I'm living today and what eyeballs I have to look, I'm seeing the deception of Islam. If you took a world globe and you put in red and highlighted where Islam is on the globe and how it's going around our globe, you'd be surprised at what your globe would look like. See, we live in the United States of America. We're down here in Inglewood, Florida. It's good. Ain't life good down here? It sure is. But we're isolated from most of what the world sees and what most of the world thinks, friend. So much so that some of the things I'm saying today, some of you are like, oh, I can't believe he says that. It's because we're isolated. We're not even part of the real world. We don't want to see what's going on half the time. Deception. Hundreds upon hundreds of hadith and Quranic verses in their Bible, they call it, speak of warfare, violence, killing, and bloodshed. This is not a religion that's been hijacked by radicals and extremists. Are they radicals and extremists? Sure they are. But the way they look at it, that is to be the best, man. That's the ones that are really sold out. It's not like these are nutsos. This is the ones that are really being elevated. And they believe this. Islam is not a peaceful religion. It's deception. And I think it's a sign of our times. Now, I want to say something. I love President Bush. Okay? You might say, I can't believe you love the president. I love President Bush. I pray for him. Is he always right on everything? Are you always right on everything? Say. You running the country? It's funny how some people can't even run a business, but they can run America. Listen, I love President Bush. I am a free citizen. I get to vote just like you get to vote, and I can say what I want to say. I do love the president, okay? And I think he's got guts. I think he's a courageous man. Certainly everything he's done has not been exactly right. Certainly he doesn't have a crystal ball to see everything that's going to happen. I understand that. But I do love the president. But guess what? I don't get my theology from George W. Bush. I get my theology from the Bible. That doesn't mean that I don't love him or I don't believe he's a good man. But some people have this blind allegiance that everything he says is the gospel. It's not. And that's to be foolish to do that. Look what he said on October 7th, less than a year ago. In a speech to a large group of Muslim leaders, President Bush said, Ramadan is the holiest time of the Muslim year. According to Islamic teaching, this month commemorates the revelation of God's word to the Prophet Muhammad in the form of the Quran. For more than a billion Muslims, 1.5 billion, Ramadan is a time of heartfelt prayer and togetherness. Another quote, I've encouraged American families to travel abroad to visit with Muslim families. How many of y'all did that this year? Do it if you want to. He continues, I have asked young Americans to study the language and customs of the broader Middle East. And for the first time in our nation's history, we have added a Quran to the White House library. That's not to say, I'm not trying to get you to dislike the president. I'm just trying to say, you better watch where you get your theology from. See, he's a president of all the people. I don't understand the way he thinks. But I tell you what, my friend, that's deception. That's deception. I wish in our public schools, friend, that we could encourage people there to go visit Israel and the Middle East or go to visit great Christian countries. I wish they could, you know, learn the Bible. Amen? Learn to study the Bible. Amen? I mean, come on! We've heard in California that there are schools that are actually pretty much forcing the kids to learn about the Quran and about these customs. I think it's deception. Are you hearing me today? I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to do that. Okay? What am I saying? I'm saying Many are going to come in the last days and say that I am Christ. I believe this is a world force to be reckoned with. Islam, by the way, denies the deity of Jesus Christ and despises His cross. Next, it denies the redemption and the forgiveness that was wrought for us, for mankind, through the shed blood of Jesus. Next, it denies the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, where does it do all that? Surah 4157, also 171, 575, and 930. I'm not saying everybody has to be like us. Okay? I am saying this. If you want to go to heaven, everybody has to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be an American. Thank God Jesus wasn't an American. Amen? Praise the Lord. But listen, that's what the Bible teaches. I'm just saying, this idea, peace-loving, it's not. It's deception. To think they believe like we do, it's a counterfeit. It might sound a lot like it, but it's different. Are you hearing me today? I hope you're understanding. These very well could be the last days, the end times. To a radical Muslim, dying and killing for the cause of Islam is not only an honor, but it's a way of pleasing Allah. Keep looking. The only way a Muslim can have assurance of salvation, listen to me, and eternal life is becoming a martyr for the cause of Islam. The only way you can really know that you know that you know that you're going is if you're gone. You understand? It's the only way you can know. That's why, what, pop it up. That's why so many young boys volunteer. Why? Because this is the one way I can make sure I have eternal life, by giving my life as a martyr. I want to say something else to you. When you see these bombs blowing up in Baghdad and places like that, you see how a lot more Muslims being killed than Americans or English or Canadians. A lot more people than who's there fighting are Muslims. But here's what they believe. They believe if we kill Muslims, A, if they're not truly believers in Allah and they're turncoats or infidels, then great, they go to hell. They go to eternal punishment. That's what they believe. But they believe if they were, if when we bomb, we kill people that are true believers, we're doing them a favor. Because they too then are martyrs and they too get to go be with Allah. Deception. Okay? I know that was a little rough ride we just took on the roller coaster at fellowship this morning. But I think, personally, there's going to be deception in the last days when it comes to people saying they have the way, the truth, this is the way you should go. And I think in our world, that's just a prime example. And I wanted to put it up on the screen so you could see it this morning. To blame all this stuff on George W. Bush is absurd. New report came out. New report. It ain't a new report. But the report came out and said because of the war, more and more terrorists are being created. It's George Bush's fault. Let me tell you something, friend. Right from the Quran, they are taught to be this way. They are taught to be this way. George W. Bush didn't write off with the head and off with your fingertips. He didn't write. I'm not trying to make a case for the present day. I'm just trying to say, to believe like that is deceptive. You know? Of course when you go to war, you're going to make more people mad. That's just common sense. I'm not winning friends here today, it doesn't sound like. Doesn't bother me any. Amen? It's a sign of our times, I believe. The world we live in today and what we see happening in our world with radical Islam and terrorism. And it's interesting. It's interesting. The Pope will just say something. He'll quote history and he'll have to apologize to death. He can't even go to Turkey now, hardly. He's supposed to go to Turkey and they're going to kill him when he goes to Turkey. But I tell you what, 9/11 happens and where are the apologies? Say, where are the apologies? Where are the apologies? You hear them? Say. No, you don't hear them, my friend. Deception. Keep looking. I got several things and I quit. Real fast, Roger. We're in warp mode. I told you that was going to take the most of our message. He gave several other signs. Dissension. Matthew 24:6-7. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, Jesus said. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Keep moving, quickly. Wars and rumors of wars. Have you heard any lately? Say. Let's go on to the next one. I believe that sign, we can check that one off, okay? Next one. Devastation. Matthew 24:7b, there shall be famines. What is famines? That is hunger. People starving to death. You'd think with the world economy today, and we live in the 21st century now, you would think with everything going so well, there wouldn't be a starving person on the planet. There's more people hungry today than there's ever been. That's a sign of end times. Starvation. It's horrible what's going on. Disease. Jesus said there's going to be disease. There's going to be pestilences. And you might say there's always been it. I agree. This is just what Jesus said. Your argument's not with me. It's what He said. He said there's going to be pestilences. What are pestilences? Disease. AIDS. In Uganda, I read something this week in Uganda, 50% of the population of Uganda is infected with AIDS. How many were here for the Zambian singers? The Zambians, one-third of Zambia has AIDS. I went to eat with these big black guys. I had a great time with them. I said, tell me about your mama. She's dead. But my sister's dead. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. My mouth fell open. And they said, the average age expectancy is 40 years old. But you could never tell it when they sang. Their teeth, they smiled. They were happy in Jesus. But a couple of them, you could go ahead and see in them. They were sick. Pestilences. Jesus said it'll be a sign in the last days. Disasters. And earthquakes in different places, diverse places. Matter of fact, we've had two here in Florida in the last year. Isn't that crazy? Out in the Gulf of Mexico. In case you've been up north, we had two earthquakes. Where are you going? Two. Just want to bring you up to speed. Had two of them registered 6 on the Richter scale. Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes. Now, I read an article. Now, I can't trust everything I read, and nor can you. But I read this article. Seismologists have recorded that. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes. It's going to be an increasing amount of earthquakes and things like that. It seems that's what he's saying. In a 70-year span from 1900 to 1970, there were 42 earthquakes. 42. From 1970 to 2000, at 30-year span, there were 51. You feeling it go up? Say. Look at this last one. In a 6-year span from 2000 to 2006, there are 90 earthquakes. I don't know. You check it out. You check it out. That's just an article I read. I thought it was very interesting. Definitely seems like things are picking up a little bit. Matthew 24:8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. These things are going to be happening in embryonic form in the days preceding the Lord's return and the tribulation period on this earth. What does that mean? These things will be happening in small fashion. It sounds like to me some of these young'uns are grown. You know what I mean? Some of these things are happening in a big way. I think it's a sign of the last days, according to Jesus. The intensity picks up as you keep reading. Just a few more verses. Death. Matthew 24:9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. More persecution going on planet Earth today than ever in a period in history. But see, we don't see it because we in Inglewood. You'd see it if you were in Sudan. You'd see it if you were in China. You'd see it if you were in Korea. You'd see these things. People are being killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. It's going to happen in the last days. Disloyalty. Matthew 24:10. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. This period of the end times will be marked by offending, by betraying, by hating. This week alone, in the United States, a guy goes in, takes several kids hostage at a little school out here in Colorado, molests several of the children and kills one of them. And then next day, Wisconsin, kid goes in, boom, blows away the principal. These kind of things, that's just a little microcosm of what's happening in our world today. Delusion. This sort of goes back to point number one. Matthew 24:11, for many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There's every church in America and in the world with every little label and every crazy kooky thing going on today that you've ever seen in your life. You agree with that? I'm telling you what. All you need is you a sign, baby, and you can have you a church somewhere. Crazy stuff out there. People are crazy. Laughing out of control. I watch some television show. You see it, laughing out of control. Laughing and saying that's in the name of God. Some of you have told me churches where you cluck like a chicken and things like that. Let me tell you something. That's goofy. I don't care what you say. That's goofy, man. To a guy like me that didn't grow up in church, we'd go, that's goofy. Read the Bible. Let's study. Let's live for Him. Let's be holy. There's so much more that we could do than act crazy. Keep looking. I know that's ugly. Defection. Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Lawlessness and a cold-hearted spirit will be on our planet when Jesus comes. There's lawlessness today. There's cold-heartedness today. Are you hearing me today? These are signs that Jesus talked about. But hallelujah. Say that one with me. Declaration. Come on, one more time. Say it with me. Declaration. Hey, it's not all bad, friend. Look. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached all in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. What does that mean? The gospel is going to be preached around the world. Is it being preached around the world today? Yes or no? Has there ever been a time in the history of the world where the gospel can be freely heard? Say. A network just went on the air in Israel. And Israel can have the gospel now in every home. They can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not that they will, but that just happened this week. And crazy old little old crazy fellowship church, even we going on TV. And we're on the radio. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we're anything. It just means that that's the world we live in and that kind of technology is now available. The declaration of the gospel. That's a sign of the last days. That ought to get us excited, man. People are able to hear about Jesus Christ in the last days. That is a sign. Jesus said, boys, it's going to get out of Jerusalem. It's going out of Jerusalem. It's going to go around the world. And I'm coming again. So it's not all bad news. Amen? Let's preach the gospel. Let's be part of that good news of that last one. Amen? Let's do that. Let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about Christ. Let's tell about Him. Let's stand for Jesus Christ. Finally, I want to just read a scripture with you this morning. Boy, this is the gospel. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the gospel. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Amen? You're here today in Fellowship Church in Englewood, Florida, because Jesus loves you today. Are you saved? Do you know Christ? If He were to come, if the world would end, I don't know. But I know this. He loves you. And part of end times is going to be us declaring the gospel to you. Are you saved? Do you know Christ today? Why don't you get it nailed today? Quit being hard-headed. Bow that knee before Him today. I hope that you can see that Satan's a counterfeiter. And what you have in Jesus Christ and the Bible is the real deal. Hey, buddy, the buck stops right there. Why don't you stop right there and bow before Him today and receive Him as your Savior? That's our prayer.